Greetings. Welcome to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Today kicks off my day of fabulous authors in so many different genres. It thrills me. My first guest is a music journalist and author. His name is Lee Zimmerman. Lee and I met, I think in the 90s when I lived in Miami, and he was the communications director for one of the local networks in Miami. But I've always known that Lee was kind of the hippie dude in the network, and he was a long-haired guy, and he loved music, and was always talking about music, and I've always loved music, so it was really wonderful to hear that Lee has a book out about called Americana Music, about all things American music. Lee Zimmerman, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a long time since we chatted.
It has been. And when you mentioned the 90s, oh my gosh, I mean,
yeah,
that's a long time ago.
It has been a long time.
I really appreciate you having me on the show and this opportunity to reconnect.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you're here. You know, I'm thrilled. Now, folks, you know, I'm 5'3" and Lee is not. He's very, very tall. So when we had a conversation, I was leaning my head back to talk up to him, but it was always fun. First of all, I want to say that kudos to your publisher for creating such an amazing book for you, from the jacket to the font size to the print. But also, there is a very special woman that I think right now we should give a shout out to. Would you please tell her I'm saying hello?
Yes, indeed. I assume you're thinking of my wife, Elisa Cherry, who took the photos here.
Yes. So Americana Music is interesting to me because I read a lot of books, nonfiction books, particularly about music and musicians. And rarely, if ever, are there such vivid, beautiful photographs to as illustrations in the contents of the book. And they are sprinkled throughout this book and so beautifully done. You know, you're looking good here because of your wife, I want to tell you, Lee.
Well, you know, that's how it happens. She's my better half, and but seriously, I am quite proud of the work she did here. She took up photography a few years ago, and now she's at every concert we go to, right there in front of the stage, snapping away and asking artists to pose. And I agree, she did a great job here.
It's really enhancement.
It's beautiful. To the book.
It certainly is. I want to kind of start at the beginning here. I know that you went to University of Miami, I never knew that you wanted to be a musician. I did not know that about you. Why didn't you learn to play an instrument?
Well, back in the day, I had a set of drums. I still have a set of drums, and I had a very good friend who taught me the basics of drums. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for those that might witness my playing, the writing sort of got in the way. I spend a lot of time working on my writing every single day, and it leaves little time to really get down into my basement and play the drums. I mean, I also have a keyboard, I have harmonica, I have a dulcimer. So when people ask me, oh, do you play any instruments? I say I have a lot of instruments, but I don't necessarily play them. I'm a wannabe.
Well, that's okay. Listen, collecting instruments is a nice thing, too, besides the albums. We were talking in the green room, and I had to laugh because when you mentioned that your basement is filled with rows and rows and rows of vinyl and CDs, I liken it to what it's like in my house with rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of books. So I understand the need to collect something that you love so much.
Yes.
How far back does your vinyl collection go?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I believe that I still have albums from the mid-60s, like there's a Beatles album down there, a Rolling Stones album, a Dave Clark 5, Herman's Hermits albums
that
my parents or my uncle gave me, and they're still in the collection. Yeah, it goes back a ways.
Is your collection organized by, you know, alphabetized or maybe by year chronology or anything? Or are you one of those people who just kind of put them in the crates and prayed that if you ever wanted to pull something out to listen to it, you could kind of sort of figure it out?
I think that it depends on your definition of organized. In theory, it is organized. It's in alphabetical order. And the problem is, though, that if you saw my basement, I've run out of room. I have three rooms in our finished basement, three rooms, and yet there's still not enough room to house the shelves that house the albums and the CDs. So I have to break out. Like, for example, Tom Petty has his own section because there are so many Tom Petty albums. But it's the only way I can manage all this. And I have a lot of memorabilia, the posters that go on the walls. So
sure.
Every inch of wall space is taken. It's crazy. It's obsessive is what it is.
Well, it is, but it's a good kind of obsessive. I mean, you could be doing taxidermy or something, you know. And
yeah, that's
get
true.
Kind of strange.
That's true.
That's true. Do you play your vinyl?
Yes, I do. And as a matter of fact, I have three turntables. I just bought this self-contained unit that's manufactured by Victrola, you know, that had the old machines back in the 1920s.
Sure.
And this particular unit has a turntable, a CD player, and a cassette player all within the same unit. But even better, I can put an album on and literally record it to a blank CD. So
yeah, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
It's great. But you know, vinyl is plentiful these days. Vinyl is coming back. And a lot of the records that I get for a review only come in vinyl. So the turntables are a necessity, you know?
I had a large vinyl collection at one point. And in moving and everything else, you know, I don't know if it was sold, lost, what, I don't know. But when you were saying about collecting Herman's Hermits and Dave Clark 5 and all, you know, we are dating ourselves, Lee. But the fact of the matter is I had all those too and more, you know.
I know. But we were children, you know.
Well,
we were,
you know.
Months old, I'm sure. Nothing more.
Very, it was an inherited collection, okay?
Of course. There you go. Thank you.
I had to laugh in your introduction. You said this. Here's a little tip for all you would-be music writers. Writing pays squat. But the perks are really cool. No streams or download for this guy. The actual disc becomes my real takeaway. I have to tell you that for most writers will tell you the same thing. But as a radio talk show host, who talks about books all the time, you don't make any money doing this, but boy, do I have a book collection. So I so can relate to you on that level.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and when you love it as much as I do, you know, and the way you love your music, and I love all kinds of music too, but I don't have a music collection, sadly, anymore. I want to move on to your book and just kind of lay out a little bit of really what drove you to write this book. And I think the question is, what is Americana music? And it's a big umbrella. You've tried to explain it to a lot of people and they assume it's one thing or the other. And like I said, when I got the book, I assumed you were talking really bluegrass, country, those types of music, which they are probably under the umbrella, but not necessarily what you're talking about in its totality. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, really, I say in the beginning of the book that I don't look to find a precise definition of it. The whole point was to let these different people that I interviewed tell the story of their journey through Americana music. But in reality, Americana music, let's face it, it dates back to the 18th century. I mean, one of my favorite songs is the song Shenandoah, which was a popular folk song in the early 1800s. That was Americana. Stephen Foster was Americana. But
right.
These days, Americana has become a brand and a label and a popular one at that. In my mind, this sort of, if you're talking about this fusion between popular music and country and folk and traditional music, I date it back to the Byrds and Poco and Nitty Gritty Dirt
right.
Band, because they were the first bands that really did the fusion. But, you know, in truth, look, it's R&B, it's blues, it's soul music, it's and it's not only American music, because later in the book I explained that groups and artists overseas are playing Americana music. So it's
what?
A pretty big umbrella.
Sure, you've mentioned that newly arrived immigrants from England and Ireland and Scotland
yep.
and Africa and places south of our border actually had a lot of roots in creating this sound because of where they moved to, in Kentucky and the Appalachia regions and Tennessee and the Carolinas and all. So they had their own they brought their own sound and mixed it with what they heard in their new life. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And as other generations came along, they would take those songs and add their own elements and their own ideas to the music. So banjo and fiddle music evolved in a way. And the same with the blues. As younger musicians come along, they take the music and they bring it forward into the future. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing indeed.
You mentioned the Byrds and Poco and Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, all bands I'm very familiar with. Who would you say today plays classic Americana music?
Well, there are a lot of great groups out there. I mean, I think I mentioned a fellow named Jason Isbell, who
yes.
is a terrific singer-songwriter, very dynamic, almost like the Bruce Springsteen of Americana music. The Steep Canyon Rangers are another band that originated sort of as a bluegrass band, but started writing original material that really broadened the boundaries of what they were doing. The Avett Brothers,
another
group.
Yeah, I like
group.
Them. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. We just saw
they're
them
fabulous.
This past weekend, and they're so dynamic. So, you know, it's very heartening to see this new generation coming along. And as I like to say, they have reverence for the roots, but they have contemporary credence at the same time. That's my
now,
favorite
in your book,
saying, by the way.
I like that. I like that. And Creedence Clearwater Revival, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. Another roots
see?
Band that helped start it all. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You mentioned Chris Isaak in the book, and I was very surprised that you listed him as one, as well as Emmy Lou Harris, who, of course, that makes sense to me. What is it about Chris Isaak that makes you consider his music Americana?
I think in part it's due to his presentation and his stage performance. Of course, he dresses himself up in these sparkling suits that
yes.
harken back to the days when all the old country singers would wear these
yes.
nudie suits. And he has that kind of personality. But more importantly, I think, he did, during his career, he did a salute to Sun Records. Sun Records being one of the seminal American record labels based in Memphis, Tennessee, which again is part of Americana's tradition. And the fact that he wanted to go back and pay tribute to that sound, I think definitely pushed his niche a little further towards Americana music.
Interesting. You know, he's an interesting performer too. You know,
oh,
he is.
He's got
a lot of chops. Yeah. Oh, really good. I'm glad to hear that.
Definitely.
The cover of your book is of Scott Abbott. Will you tell us about him, please?
Both he and his brother, Seth Abbott, are, you know what, they're in a category by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely energetic, extremely exuberant. They jump around on stage. At this performance we saw this past weekend at Merlefest, Scott literally went down into the audience. So they have sort of this natural energy that seems so spontaneous. The spontaneity is amazing. And yet they write songs that are so affecting and sensitive and soulful, just beautiful. It's a great combination, energy and emotion, and they somehow toe a fine line between both elements.
Your wife has a beautiful picture of Graham Nash in the book.
Yeah.
With Milk Carton Kids. I love that picture.
Yeah.
How did Graham Nash fit in with all of this? Because my favorite group was Crosby, Stills, Nash, and then when Neil Young started playing, of course, them. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen all of them. So
I'm
curious, and you can tell, Lisa, that I am drawn to the pictures more than I am to the text. And then I go back and read the text, just so you know. But they are absolutely fabulous. Tell me about how Graham Nash became included in your story.
Well, again, like you said, he was part of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. All the individual members of that conglomerate have in some way contributed to Americana. What's interesting,
yes,
though, in Graham Nash's case is that he came from the UK. He's an Englishman. I don't think
right.
he's a citizen yet. He's still got his British citizenry. But back in the beginning, when he was working with the Hollies, who do you
right.
think were their models? Their models, who they adored, were the Everly Brothers. Okay?
Really?
So there's a connection there.
I
idolized the Everly Brothers. And again, when you look at the Everly Brothers' early works, they did country albums. They did an album called Songs Our Father Taught Us, which were all traditional country songs.
Uh-huh.
So those harmonies, that's an essential ingredient, I think, in some way. So it sometimes it's roundabout, but it still comes to the fore, you know?
Interesting. And I see you have John Oates in a picture, too, from Hall & Oates with Leanne
yeah.
Womack. I've seen them innumerable times also. So I didn't realize how this umbrella that you're talking about, how many musicians it encompasses, not only in their respective bands, but also individually. Also, I want to ask you about country music today. I like to listen to a lot of things, and my radio is tuned to a lot of different stations, everything from opera to rock, to country, hip hop, you know, rhythm and blues, whatever happens to be on. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I do notice that rock and country sound alike nowadays. Is that
just
me?
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And that's an excellent observation. And I don't want to sound like I'm putting it down, but I guess to me, a lot of the country music you hear these days on the radio, on commercial radio,
yes.
is a lot like sort of the MOR, adult contemporary music
yes.
that was played back in the day. And then on the other hand, a lot of it sounds to me like frat rock, a bunch of good old boys getting together, celebrating a Saturday night out with a lot of beer. And so I don't know. I find that the depth isn't quite there, the real soul in that music. It's not like what Hank Williams used to do. You know, there was a depth and an emotion there that I think is somewhat lacking these days. And I might get flack for saying it, but hey, that's my opinion. What can I tell
you?
Well,
you're a music writer. So having said that, what are your feelings about Chris Stapleton?
Chris Stapleton is interesting because, to me, he reminds me of some of the Southern rock artists that, again, I used to hear back in the day, be it the Allman Brothers or Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Mm-hmm.
He has that sort of gruff, gritty sound that's the essence of, you know, what Southern rock used to be about. So to me, it's kind of this resurgence of sorts that he's helped to bring back. And my gosh, I mean, this guy has been accorded all kinds of honors. So he's done great. He's like a phenomenon the way he came on.
He's got some pipes though, doesn't he? He's really got some pipes.
Oh yeah, he certainly does.
I think he's pretty amazing. I was stunned when I first listened to his music. Who has your ear now? Who are you listening to and really loving?
People ask me that constantly. And it's a hard question for me to answer because in my day job as a music journalist, I'm literally listening to something new and different every day because I write 7 days a week. I turn in 2 to 3 to 4 things a day. So it's one thing after another. And it's very hard to actually pin down something because, in all truth, most of what I listen to are things that I'm intent on reviewing. Now, that said, it's not like, oh, my gosh, I have to listen to this. I enjoy listening to the things that I listen to. But, you know, to answer your question, it really is all over the boards. I mean, I as I said before, I love the music that the Steep Canyon Rangers put out. On the other hand, maybe I'll go back and listen to some Dale Shannon or some Bob Dylan.
Right.
You know, Blood on the Tracks. I could listen to that album repeatedly throughout the day. So it's new and old. I have a stack of CDs that are intended for review, and it's great stuff. But I also have a very large listening pile that when I can get away from the obligations, I go and I want to listen to just for my pure pleasure.
Yeah. So if someone says, I want to discover some current Americana music, where do you point them?
My book.
There you go.
Notice how quickly I came back.
That's as it should be.
Satellite radio. Well, you know, what can I do?
So,
I can't resist that plug.
Let me change up the question a little bit. Where will someone go to listen to the music? Are there special concerts? Are there venues they can look for? You know, how does one go to hear this music? Because there's nothing like hearing an artist in person to know if they really have what it takes, if they're really as good as a reviewer told them they were.
You know, there are a lot of festivals these days, and here we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, but the festival phenomenon keeps growing and growing and growing. Like I just said, we just came back from Merlefest in North Carolina, which was sort of a traditional bluegrass festival, but now it's evolved to include people like Brandi Carlile and Keb Moe and all these other wonderful artists. Every year we go to the Americana Festival in Nashville, which, again, literally hundreds of different artists in this vein performing on stages all throughout the city. My wife, Elisa, and I really got into it after going to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival in Colorado, which is not strictly a bluegrass festival anymore, but a wonderful melting pot of just contemporary musicians and traditional musicians. So the festival scene it's a great place to go and discover. There's a lot to do. It's overwhelming. Oftentimes you can't see everybody you want to see because there's a multitude of stages. But that's a great way to sample what's new and current and worth listening to these days.
I want to talk a little bit more about the book. You have taken a very interesting approach to writing this book. It is a series of questions and answers, and there are some, admittedly, just regular text, some descriptive narrative, and so on. Why did you choose to write the book like that, Lee?
Well, you know, sometimes when you interview an artist, their answers are so clever and spontaneous, and they reveal the personality of the artist, that I would rather give that artist full opportunity to express themselves. And the Q&A format really allows for that. I ask the question, they respond. However, in other circumstance, you want to kind of just get right to the story. You want to give the narrative. You want to give the lowdown on the artist. And it makes it a better way to do it, to create a narrative and then to fill in the blanks with the artist's responses. You know, let's face it, some artists are great interviews. I mean, as you know, when speaking to people for your show, some people give great responses, but other people
true.
Just say, yeah, no, maybe, whatever.
Right.
And you have to take that into account as well.
Sure, absolutely. We have just a few minutes remaining, but I want you to please tell everyone, Americana Music is published by Texas A&M University Press. You're everywhere. Are you touring for this book?
I am taking opportunities wherever possible to speak about the books, to do signing sessions, what have you. I've been to South Florida. I'll be in Nashville in September. I'm going to Chattanooga this month for a Folk Alliance festival. And, you know, I'm doing whatever radio I can do, which, again, just makes me so grateful that you have me on the show. So wherever the opportunity is to speak about the book and share the book, I'm taking that opportunity to do so.
Tell everyone your website, please.
Yes, it's storiesbeyondthemusic.com. That gives you some samples of my work, which aren't necessarily in the book, and some examples of some of the music reviews I've done throughout the years. It gives kind of a broad overview of my writing resume, so to speak.
The book is called Americana Music. The author is Lee David Zimmerman. Lee, it has been, and the photographer is Alisa Cherry. I am so thrilled that we reconnected again. Thank you so much for being on Authors on the Air, and I wish you much success with the book.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for being with me. I will talk to you again soon. And thank you, Mom and Dad. I'll see you later.